Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 253 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by Dr. Ardith Morris from Arkansas Tech University, and she's here to tell me kind of her tale of the woes of her department that she's currently suffering through. It's a bit of an unfair situation, and it's affecting her, it's affecting her students, it's affecting their education, and it's, let's just hear her story. All right, IDSers, I have with me a special guest, Dr. Ardith Morris of Arkansas Tech, and she's having a little issues down there. So I'm glad she decided to come on and kind of tell us what is going on down there. So, Dr. Morris, welcome. How are you?
I'm opening Candide.
And all, everything's going swimmingly from what I hear, right?
Oh, well, actually, I have amazing, amazing performers. So, you know, I don't think I can do this now. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
You know how theater people are?
Oh, yeah.
Their hearts do our work. And it's been exhausting. I mean, production week is always, always a hard thing to do.
Right.
It's a complicated show. And we are removed from our usual facilities and resources. So, you know, ordinarily you need to put an extra stand on their prop. You just go over and pick up a piece of scrap 1x4.
Yeah.
When you have to literally go by or recreate everything that you need to make a performance happen.
Yeah.
It makes the stress incredible.
Incredible. Now, just for our listeners, you were kind of already in a in your process, correct?
Yes, we were. They closed the shop.
Somewhere in September, right? September.
Yeah, 9th of September, I think it was. My calendar isn't up there. I could probably provide you kind of a timeline.
Well, Rose has done that in her.
We have been working on this show since July.
Okay.
And we had designs. And we were well into our process, and we were well into a semester, assuming that we would be able to have our typical resources. We weren't we didn't have the luxury of knowing that this would be an issue when we began the process.
Right. And the issue is, at least by what Rose sent me, that this fire marshal came in and did an inspection on September 9th and found issues. Now,
typically, you know, theaters kind of have a dubious, or a, not dubious, but a process with fire marshals. That's process of negotiation. They need to understand what it is that we do.
Right.
And the difference between something that is permanent and something that's temporary.
Right.
For example, a lot of the issues that the fire marshal noted on his report was that there were no stairs or no safety rails on the escape stairs for scenery. Well, that scenery was being in the process of being taken apart.
Right.
To be stored.
Right.
So, you know, the handrails were one of the first things that came down so you could get to the superstructure.
Right.
And I don't know, it makes us sound like bad housekeepers because you may have looked at the pictures.
Yeah.
But we do the operations of a, according to the university, 30-person major, according to our calculations, a 42-major major with two faculty members, no theater, and two-thirds of an old gymnasium in which we do everything.
Right.
Lighting, costuming, construction, rehearsal, some performances, the storage of everything that we have is all out in one big gymnasium.
Right. So the number one issue is you're cramped for space anyway.
We're cramped for space, and most people don't have their closets open for public inspection.
Right.
That's why they have doors.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, would you want your mother-in-law to look at your closet?
No.
Right?
Right.
And we were in the process of a major weeding and reorganization of costumes. But you know as well as I do that we use student labor for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the costumes were in the place from last semester where we ran out of storage space, storage containers, and semester.
Mm-hmm.
With the expectation that we would start back this semester. And it continued to do that kind of process,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, you know, the guillotine falls. Mm-hmm. Like, boom, we were told to grab some things, but we, when we left, you know, the students were to get their personal possessions. But I don't know if the university suspects that anything that is, quote, in that fire hazard will spontaneously combust when it comes out of there, because
right.
we could go back in to get anything. Now,
So now you're completely...
So everything that we need is locked away from us.
Okay.
And you're going to ask me why. And I can tell you I have no idea.
Okay, so the marshal, just to recap, marshal comes in, does the report, has the findings, whatever they were.
But he didn't order it closed. If you look at the fire marshal's report, all of this should still be up somewhere on the tech website.
Uh-huh.
He found some issues. And typically, we're a very chain of command kind of school.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he would have to talk to whoever he talks to, and it would have to trickle down to us through economic affairs, through our department head, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But usually we get some sort of things and go, he was concerned about paint storage. And we would go, well, they're all water-based paints, so there shouldn't really be a fire issue. And
right.
they go, oh, okay, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So we kind of answer them and things that were, yeah, are bad. We go, okay, we won't do that anymore, or we'll fix that,
right?
Right.
Right.
So that's the typical kind of way that this was handled
uh-huh.
in the past. It wasn't handled that way. We got a negative fire marshal's report, and literally, in the middle of his stagecraft class, they evacuated the building.
Okay. All right. So, but from no, let me just gather.
Let me clarify a point.
Okay.
I told you we had two-thirds or three-quarters of an old gymnasium.
Yeah.
The other quarter of that gymnasium, separated by a concrete wall that doesn't go up to the ceiling, is a museum, which has been in continuous operation.
Okay, that's what I was going to try to clarify. Yeah, so you're in a space, you're in a shared space that doesn't have a quote-unquote, I guess, code firewall in between the two entities, and yet...
Well, it doesn't go to the ceiling, so...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how it could fire be a code in it.
Fire only goes about 8 feet. I don't know if you know that, all right? Right. So you don't have a full wall, full barrier in between the two spaces. One entity, you, has been locked out, but this other side still is there. And it's operating, functioning, and everything.
Yeah, open to the public completely.
Wow, that's just... So you were completely locked out. You couldn't even rectify any of the potential hazards.
No.
That you were noted on.
Yeah.
And thus you've had to...
We haven't been able to address any of those issues. We don't know what the university's intent is regarding that space, regarding the resources that we are currently locked away from. Students who were in the middle of a stagecraft class now have no space to construct anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Stagecraft by theory, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. This is how you would put a flat together if you could put a flat together.
Yeah, if you were allowed to touch the tools, if we had no lumber.
Right. Now, is this...
Right.
Yeah, this is the same, because years ago, how we first met you guys, you were doing Assassins, and there was issues with weaponry, use of prop guns, right? Is this...
Yeah.
Is this the same administration that is now pulling this?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
My first question is, what have you done to anger those folks?
I guess I was... producing Assassins. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's strange.
I mean, I really, honestly don't know.
Because it's not just affecting, I mean, like you said, this is not just affecting a production, which is bad in and of itself. This is affecting your academic integrity, so to speak, with you're not being able to fully offer a class that I assume would be required for the major. I mean, most stagecraft classes
it's required for the major. And we also serve half of the hours, because in Arkansas, you get certified in speech and theater, right, if you're going to teach at the high school level.
Right.
So we service half of the hours in our speech education program.
And this is taking up not only stagecraft classroom, but I mean like performance classes and
right. Now we were able to move my acting class to into the auditorium that we have, which is mostly a music hall. It's not a theater space, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no wings, there's no flies, there's a hard ceiling thing, so there's a front of house lighting position and everything else is like little recessed light.
Yeah, I know exactly what
you're talking about. Polished wood ceiling.
Yeah.
Right.
But so, built for acoustics, not for theatrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not sure what it was built for. that was fine. I just said I need some space, you know, to move my actors around, and that's not a big deal. But the other impact has been that that's a multi-use space.
Uh-huh.
We got it. We came to it late. Rehearsal space has been a problem.
Right.
Because ordinarily, until even when we're doing a show in the auditorium space, we build in our shop space and we rehearse in our shop space. So the set is being put together and the actors have access to the materials as we accumulate them as part of the rehearsal process.
Right, sure.
And the ramps, the platforms, all the stuff that we needed to do the show, we got Saturday.
Wow.
When we moved into the space.
Wow. And when does the show, you said as we record this, you're in Tech Week, so it opens?
It opens Friday.
Friday. So that's, as we record this, that's October, what?
28th. Yeah.
And then it runs two weekends?
Weekend? Through November 5th.
Through November 5th. Okay. So not only have you been, so literally they're getting the stuff days before they go on stage,
right,
before they perform. So the, again, level of comfort with the actors on the set as far as step height and all that kind of stuff is not.
Is a recent development.
That can always be an adventure.
Well, you know, this play is, oh my God, I understand why colleges, like, kind of in general don't do it. But I just have, we're doing this performance in association with the music program here, and that's one of the great strengths of Arkansas Tech is, for a long time, it's been known as the band director school of this part of the country.
Right.
But they've also really, really developed their vocal performance aspect. And so we have a lot of students who are vocal performance majors and theater minors. Uh-huh. And just some amazing voices in that. And it's what felt like the time to show it off with a musical,
right,
kind of this ambitious and this serious musically.
Right. So this,
but not tone of performance.
And this will be a great production, but it could have been a really centerpiece for the university as well, since there's a collaboration between departments.
Yes, and if we didn't kind of have all these limitations,
right. And you have, and the administration has not given you any sort of schedule of.
No, well, yeah, we don't know when things are going to change or how things are going to change.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But part of this, you know, I mean, the original, like, news release just was like unsafe conditions, so forth, so on. And then the secondary news release, because I think there was some kickback from alumni on this, said some sort of negative things about Ms. Brew and I. And she's the technical director. She's our faculty member that does technical direction. She's not officially on her contract noted as technical director.
Right.
Though she does serve that function.
Right.
So she's our technical and director design faculty. There's just two of us.
Right.
I'm a theater historian and an actor and director, teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in charge of building safety.
Yeah, right.
How can I be blamed for an unsafe building?
Right.
You know, if there's a weak denouement in something I'm directing, you can blame me for that.
Right.
But if there's no emergency lights in the room where I teach acting,
right,
I don't think that's my problem.
Right. Right. And I'm sure those have been issues that have been documented, of course, and that.
Yeah, I mean, we've asked for, like, we're overcrowded. We have so many majors. It's difficult for Ms. Brew has 24 people in her stagecraft class, and there's her.
Right.
24 people with power tools with one supervisor is a little scary. Now we have senior students who come in and assist and help and what have you. But we've been asking for some help maintaining the space because it's difficult for two people who are very, very busy doing other things.
Right.
To also do that. And we've been saying we're overcrowded. Could space be found for the storage of some of our stock material? None of that has ever happened.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And now we are kind of being held responsible for a situation that we were powerless. Yes, things could have been neater, but we were in the process of striking a set and reorganizing costumes. That much I'll grant.
Right.
But many of the other issues related to that are kind of beyond our power to solve.
Right. Right. It's not like you're going to be allowed to go out and buy, you know, security lights and then put them up without someone from above coming down on you for doing that. So you're kind of in a catch-22, from what I understand.
Yeah. I mean, we had no authority to make permanent changes to the building, nor should it be our responsibility to do that.
Right.
So we tried to use the space that we were given to the best of our abilities. And I've got to mention that we're on our third department head in 3 years. One retired, one got promoted, and, you know, and at the department head and dean level, they seem to be doing as much as they can to try to help us.
Right. Okay. So,
because basically when we got in this situation and we weren't allowed to retrieve our materials, our dean went, "What do you need?"
Mm-hmm.
So instead of moving our portable dimmers out of the shop into the dictionary, he rented them for us.
Okay.
You know, uh-huh. I mean, there's been help and support at that level, but it's just kind of, it makes you uneasy.
Right. Well, you're uncertain.
You're
uncertain of what to do because you're getting mixed signals, right? You're getting some support and then clearly not some support from other areas, so... listeners of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, Rose Bonner brought this to my attention, and so there is an alumni group. If there's Arkansas Tech people out there that are listening to this, what is the alumni group's name? Is there any kind of contact information we can get people to kind of join the group, and or I'll put this to you, and or who should people call or contact to help voice their support for you guys?
Gosh, I really don't know at this point. You can send to Anthony Caton at Arkansas Tech and Dr. Tarver, Michael Tarver at Arkansas Tech. Thank you for your support. And then I guess above that, our vice president for academic affairs, who is John Watson, could be just a, you know, theater is important to education. Help your folks do good theater.
Okay. Well, listeners, again, I'll put some links and stuff that was sent to me, and I'll put that on the show notes so you can find that on inexplicabledumbshow.com. And I'm gonna wish you all the best and break legs. And it just breaks my heart to hear of your situation. And Dr. Morris, I send you all the best wishes that I can possibly send over the internet. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. All right, so I'd like to thank Dr. Ardith Morris from Arkansas Tech coming in and phoning in and telling me her story. And I wish all the positive thoughts and vibes and white light and all that kind of stuff that I can send to somebody else. I want to send it to Dr. Morris and her students. And hopefully, again, I'd like to thank all of you out there that have pitched in to help overcome adversities for this program. It seems like it's... It's had its fair share, more than its fair share of issues to overcome. Again, if you're looking for more information about Arkansas Tech and its issues, you can go to inexplicabledumbshow.com. I will have some links set up where you can kind of get some more background about the story and that sort of thing. So, again, hang in there, Dr. Morris. Hang in there, Arkansas Tech students. Thanks to Rose Bonner for bringing the story to my attention. And I wish you all the best. Next week, who knows? I'll come up with something else. Hey, I'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's Magnatune. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.
Hi, this is Dr. Ardeth Morris of Arkansas Tech University, and we just finished the first weekend run of car production of Can't Do that you may have talked about on tonight's show, and just wanted to tell you that despite all the efforts of the administration to be relatively non-supportive, we had a pretty good opening weekend and 3 out of 3 standing ovations and a show that many people are calling love with. So just wanted to tell you that even in the face of the adversity, thank you. Good night.